Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the line for a very, very special March Madness edition of the Pick and Pop podcast, Damian Arsenis from pickandroll.com.au. Mate, welcome to the show.
Oh, look, from my perspective, it's good to be back on the show, but this is the best time of the year to be around basketball. You've got March Madness, and like you, I love my college basketball.
It is a fantastic time of year, and this is a very special Wednesday edition. We are going to do two podcasts this week, one for the male side of college basketball, one for the female side. So make sure you stay tuned for both of those. Download both of those as well as our regular podcast, which will be up on Friday again. We wanted to start off by talking about St. Mary's because that is the team that everyone seems to think about first when we are thinking about Australian college basketball representation. And even though they had a bad loss to Gonzaga today, which makes it 0-3 from the season against the Zags, unfortunate game there, but they will still make the tournament. And according to Joe Lunardi of ESPN.com, who is, of course, the premier bracketologist on the internet, he still has St. Mary's, and I don't know if this is updated since St. Mary's loss, he has them as a 6 seed in the Midwest going up against Vanderbilt, the 11 seed. I don't know what your thoughts are, Damo, but I can't imagine that St. Mary's, who haven't had a quality win for the entire season, will end up as a 6 seed. I think it would be more around the 9, 10, 11 mark.
Yeah, I think you're right around that. But first and foremost, losing to Gonzaga is not a bad thing. Gonzaga,
it was expected.
Number four team in the country.
Only one loss for the season.
That's right. Having said that, St. Mary's is the number 19 ranked team in the nation. So they've been in the top 25 all year, but Gonzaga has been another level ahead. And while in the West Coast Conference tournament today, St. Mary's were trailing by as many as, I think it was 21 points in the first half. They came storming back, got to within 5 or 6 points, but it was the Zags that finished more strongly. And, you know, Jock Landau, as happened in the last game, got into a little bit of foul trouble. He finished with 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 blocks in the final. But, you know, you have a look at what he did and also Emmett Nahr. They absolutely dismantled BYU in the semi-final. You know, he had a 22-point and 10-rebound performance in the semi. Emmett Nahr had a double-double of 10 points and 11 assists in the semi-final as well. They won by, 29 points, I think it was, against BYU. That's just massive. And, of course, today they did go down. Emmett Nahr had 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists today. And as you pointed out, that's 3 losses to Gonzaga. Gonzaga were just the absolute standout of the West Coast Conference.
And one of the standout teams in the entire West as a whole. We don't know whether they are still going to be able to get that 1 seed in the bracket come March Madness, but there's certainly going to be a 1 or 2 seed. You would have thought that maybe UCLA might usurp them as the 1 seed in the West, but that remains to be seen. But as it stands,
I can't see them missing out on a 1 seed now. They've gone through one loss all year. They've got the best record in all of college hoops. They are a number 1 seed in my opinion. But, you know, on Jock Landau, he was named West Coast Conference first team. He backed it up with being named to the all-tournament team today. He's had an absolutely stellar season, one of the best big men in college basketball.
And I'm just looking here at Joe Lunardi's projections. If we are going on the fact that St. Mary's is a 6 seed in the Midwest, that would mean that we play either UCLA, I say we because they're Australian representation, so any team with Australian representation I will be referring to as we. If St. Mary's do take on Vanderbilt and win, they'll take on the winner of UCLA and CSU Bakersfield. And the winner of that game could potentially play Louisville down the track. So that'll be a tremendous opportunity for a bunch of Aussies to come together and play in, what would that be, the Sweet 16, I think, if my maths is correct. But there you go. So if Lunardi's projections are correct, there could be a potential Sweet 16 matchup between St. Mary's and Louisville. Don't know if that's going to happen again. I can't see them being the 6th seed. They haven't had any quality wins. If you go to their strength of schedule rank, it's 84th in the country. They've had a couple of bad losses. Obviously, they lost to Gonzaga 3 times, but then losing to, where was it? They had a couple of bad losses. Where was their losses against?
Oh, now you've got me thinking.
Texas Arlington was one of them.
Yes, it was.
And I can't think of who the other one was.
There was an my mind's gone blank, but they bounced back strongly. It was after a break where they had their exams, and they came out, lost the game, but bounced back very quickly and destroyed their next opponent. But Look, St. Mary's, they'll be in the NCAA tournament, just definitely not a number six seed. And on that, we've already got someone that's booked an automatic bid.
And that's Winthrop. We've been speaking about Winthrop and Xavier Cooks for the last couple of years on this show, and Xavier Cooks is definitely one of those members that helped Winthrop into the tournament.
Most certainly. They beat Campbell for the Big South Championship, and the 6'8 forward, Xavier Cooks, backed up his selection to the All-Conference first team. He was named to the All-Tournament team as well. He had 17 points on 5 of 7 shooting in the final. He had 14 rebounds as well to notch up another double-double, and he had 5 assists and 3 steals in that big game. He's a big-game player who's delivered in all the big games for Winthrop this year, and if you look at his tournament across all 3 games, he averaged 19.7 points and 13 rebounds a game. Now, that's big-time performances.
He is, and he's certainly one of those people that every Australian basketball fan, and to be honest, every fan in general, should be looking out for in the tournament, because he can produce some phenomenal numbers. So make sure, I don't know where Winthrop will be seed-wise. You wouldn't have thought particularly high. We'll see next Monday where they actually do end up. But regardless of where they do end up, he's certainly one that you have to keep an eye out for.
Most certainly. And they've got another outstanding player in Keon Johnson as well. He was the conference MVP. And between them, Cooks and Johnson have really elevated this team to well above anyone else in the Big South. And they're definitely a team that can potentially cause a first-round upset. But it's great to see that we've already got one confirmed ticket, but there's also some more coming up, potentially.
Well, and let's hope so, because Albany take on Vermont in the America East Final. Obviously, we got Mike Rowley there, so it's going to be a very interesting game there for Albany. Obviously, they won't be able to make it without that automatic bid. But we saw a couple of years ago the magic of Peter Hooley hitting that game-winning shot in the dying second. So let's hope that we can replicate something like that, whether it is from Mike Rowley or a non-Australian. But let's just hope that we can get Albany into the tournament.
Oh, look, definitely. And, you know, when Peter Hooley was there, his first 3 years at Albany, they went dancing every one of those years, and it was only in his senior year they just missed out. So he just missed out on the fairy tale 4 years for tournaments. But having said that, you know, Mike Rowley, the younger brother of Sam Rowley, who enjoyed a lot of that success alongside Hooley, is certainly taken up the slack. He's in the starting forward position. He's a solid contributor and a valuable contributor for the side. So they just need one win now against Vermont, which is an achievable task, although Vermont have been one of the standout teams in the America East. So they do have a bit of work ahead of them, but it's going to be an exciting game, and that game's this weekend.
Anything can happen. Make sure you tune in. Hopefully ESPN have it. I haven't actually checked the guides, but keep an eye out for it regardless. The next team we wanted to chat about was Miami. They are a team that are on the bubble, so they probably don't have to win the ACC to get a tournament bid, but they can still get an at-large bid. We'll see how that goes. They've had ups and downs, up and down season so far. Had a couple of good wins, but a couple of bad losses as well. Dion, how are you going to pronounce it? Because there's two ways that people pronounce it. Vasiljevic? Is that how what we're going with?
Yeah, that's what we're going with. And the freshman from Melbourne has been very, very good. He's a lights-out
three-point shooter.
But he is a lights-out three-point shooter, and he's had some sensational games. But like we've seen for him in Australian junior representative games, he is a big-time performer. He steps up on the big stage. You know, he sunk New Zealand with a game-winning three-pointer. He's done it throughout his whole junior career. So he's the kind of player that could really step up and make a difference for the Hurricanes in their conference tournament. Of course, they're playing in the ACC. So they're already in the second round. But, you know, the competition in the ACC is quite tough. So they probably want at least
quite
one
tough
win.
That's an understatement. There'll be about 11 or 12 teams from the ACC going dancing this year.
Yeah, quite possibly. So one or two wins for them could be enough to get them through. But they probably need at least one win in the second round to sort of give them that comfort that, hey, we've had a win, we deserve to be there. But, you know, there's so many other talented players and teams with Aussies that still have a chance, but are going to have to earn the conference championship to be able to get the automatic bid, because, unfortunately, they're playing in mid-major to low-major programs.
Yeah,
so we're talking about UC Davis in the Big West conference tournament. They're already in the quarterfinals. They're going to be taking on Cal Poly later this week. And, of course, we've spoken about him a little bit this season. It's Chima Maniki. He's been absolutely outstanding. He's been shooting the lights out for the Aggies, and he's one that could step up and help get them to the going dancing.
Let's just go back to Miami for a second. Let's consult the bracketologist Joe Lunardi once again and see where he has them currently. He has Miami as an 8 seed in the East, taking on Michigan in the first round. So if we have a look at that corner of the bracket and other Australians in that corner of the bracket, he has Florida as a 4th seed playing East Tennessee State. Of course, we've got Gorjok Gak playing for Florida there. Not getting many minutes, but still Australian representation, so we're definitely counting that. So that could potentially see them as a Sweet 16 matchup as well. We've also got Baylor as a 2 seed. So Baylor started the year very, very impressively. They've kind of fallen off a little bit since then. Joe Lawalachil Jr. had a phenomenal first half of the season. Not so much. Now they're kind of limping a little bit into the tournament, at least compared to their start of the season. But if they can maintain that second seed, I'm not confident that they will, by the way, but if they can maintain that second seed or even a 3 seed, again, they all share the east corner of the bracket. So with Miami, with Florida, and with Baylor all in that corner of the bracket, that's definitely a bracket to look out for.
My word it is. And, you know, Baylor were in the number one seed at one stage, the first time, the number one ranked team in the country at one stage, the first time they've done so in their program.
They're a fun team to watch, by the way. They're a very fun team to watch.
Oh, they are. And they've got some NBA-level talent in their team, too.
They're like the Milwaukee Bucks of college basketball, and their athleticism and their length throughout the entire team is phenomenal.
Motley, look out for him. He's going to go in the NBA draft. But
absolutely.
Lawalachil Jr., he's been really, really good early in the season, had a bit of a lull, but he certainly has shown signs of coming back to form in the last few games. So he could well have an impact for them. Particularly, you know, the big guys don't get any shorter, and when things are on the line, you certainly want to have someone like that, so athletic and still able to hit the three ball as well.
I also missed a fourth team that he had in the East, Winthrop. He had Winthrop as a 14th seed against Florida State, so that could potentially mean that Florida State and Baylor, sorry, Winthrop and Baylor play each other in the Sweet 16, and then Miami and Florida play each other in the Sweet 16.
Well, there you go. So that'd be good. Too early days to be counting on that, but you know, it's exciting to still...
We can get ahead of ourselves. That's what March Madness is for. If we are not getting ahead of ourselves, then is it really March Madness, Damo? I don't think so.
No, you're right, but technically it's Champ Week at the moment.
But it's still March.
It is, but...
The madness is already setting in. I can feel the illness starting to creep into my brain.
You got the vein sticking out already.
I do. I'm showing symptoms.
Fantastic.
So a couple of the other teams that we did want to look at, these are teams that are pretty much guaranteed. In fact, they are guaranteed to be in the tournament. We've got Arizona, Louisville, Duke, and Kentucky. We mentioned Baylor already. These are teams that are going to be very prevalent in the tournament. Some of them you'd probably expect to make it as far as the Final Four, if not the championship game. Mainly Louisville, Duke, and Kentucky. They're probably even Arizona. You know what? Arizona are looking very, very good. They are one of the best teams in the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 is very top-heavy as well. They've got Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona is the three top sides of the Pac-12. So let's see where Lunardi has Arizona at the moment. If I can look through here, he's got firstly Duke as a 4 seed in the West. He's got Oregon as a 2 seed. Where has he got Virginia? Where has he got Arizona? I can't even see Arizona here.
I'm looking at that. Arizona is currently ranked number 7 in the nation. Kentucky with Isaac Humphrey. Sorry, Arizona with Keanu Pinder, of course, who unfortunately sort of slipped out of the rotation there at the moment. But Kentucky at 8 with Isaac Humphries. We spoke about Baylor. They're the 9th ranked team at the moment. Louisville comes in at number 10. And Duke's 14. And, of course, Louisville with Deng Adel and Mango Mathiang, they're both starting and providing huge contributions to that team. And for mine, Louisville can only go as far as Deng Adel can take them.
I'm with you. He's got Arizona as a 3 seed in the South against Bucknell in the opening round, just for all you punters out there. But there we go. And if we have a look at Louisville, again, this isn't the best way to go about things, but if I can find Louisville somewhere along here. He's got him as a 2 seed in the Midwest. We mentioned them before, of course.
And so, that's about right.
It is, absolutely. The way they've been playing this year, they had a lot of good wins, again, in a very, very tough conference. So we have potential. If we have Louisville, Baylor, Duke, Kentucky, all those teams, Baylor perhaps, Arizona, we certainly have the potential to seeing some Australians participate in at least the Final Four. You would have thought if Louisville doesn't finish as a Final Four team, you'd consider that as a somewhat wasted season, especially someone like Kentucky. They've got terrific talent, NBA talent, probably lottery talent as well in Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. So it's going to be an interesting tournament.
It certainly will. And, you know, I still think the team that Aussies should be looking out for and the team with the most excitement and an opportunity to go deep, like all these teams can go exceptionally deep, Chris, but I think the one to look out for us as Aussies is Louisville, because not only
I'm with you.
Deng Adel and Mango Mathiang going to play big minutes, they're going to play big roles, and I think they're definitely going to go Final Four.
I'm with you. I'm exactly the same. I think they, like I said, if they don't make the Final Four, that'll be a wasted season for them, essentially, but the fact that they do have Australians that contribute as much as those two do, that's what makes it so exciting. If you have a look at a team like Duke, Jack White doesn't really play much. If you have a look at Kentucky, Isaac Humphries barely gets a minute. Keanu Pinder isn't playing too much for Arizona. It's hard to see a lot of these guys get particularly many minutes, especially in the tournament when the rotation is cut even more than in the regular season. Joe Lawalachil potentially for Baylor. That could be fun. I'm going to put them there as well, but I can't see them going as far as Louisville.
No, unfortunately not. And look, I'm not going to put out of the prospect or out of the realms of possibility that Baylor can certainly push all the way to a Final Four, but based on recent form, I just can't see them getting there. And I just see that Louisville just looks primed to make a run. They haven't been playing their best, but they haven't been playing bad either. And Deng Adel, if he gets going, and with Donovan Mitchell, those two are going to form such a potent duo that I reckon they can take them all the way to the Final Four. But outside of those top teams that we've talked about already, there's a couple of other teams in the Big Sky that have got a legitimate chance to book themselves an automatic berth. And, of course, I'm talking about Montana, that have Jack Lopez and Fabian Krstljevic. Both those guys play decent minutes, and they're going into the quarterfinals and taking on Idaho. But you've also got Eastern Washington, and of course that's
our boys. We've had them on this podcast before. It might have been a different podcast that we did together, but regardless, at some stage in the past, you and I were on a podcast together with all of the Australians at Eastern Washington,
with the exception of Jesse Hunt, who was in Perth at the time. But we did have them all, and you know, they've come in and surprised a lot of people. They're going into the tournament as the number two seed for the Big Sky tournament, and they're a very, very good chance. They've been playing exceptionally well. Felix von Hoff, of course, is so dangerous for them. He's lifted his game defensively as well. Mason Pinkling has been providing great support off the bench. And, of course, Jesse Hunt's been a really big defensive presence for them as well. So I wouldn't be ruling either of those teams out. They're both really good chances. Montana's been thereabouts the last few years. And, you know, Eastern Washington have been a contributor and a contender, particularly going back to when Benki Joyce was there as well, where they did make the NCAA tournament and went in against Georgetown. So they have some recent history in their favour. But the exciting thing is we've got so many Aussies in action, and we haven't even talked about every team that's playing off in a conference tournament either. There could be a smoky emerge.
Now, obviously, a lot of what we're saying right now is speculation as to what will happen once Selection Sunday comes around. We will be doing another very special podcast next week after Selection Sunday, which means that we will know the field. We'll go through all the Australian matchups. We'll make our predictions. It will be one gigantic Australian March Madness bracket podcast. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Again, details will be up on the Pick and Roll website, as well as their Twitter page and their Facebook page. So make sure, if you aren't already, and why aren't you if you're not, make sure you're following and liking all of Pick and Roll stuff. But next week is when it really begins. That's when we can really, really be excited, and that's when the Madness demo really starts to take hold.
Certainly does. And of course, we've only spoken about the men today, and we're going to speak about the women with Lockie France, who covers all the college basketball for the Aussie women this season. And there's been some huge performances already. So we've got some great stuff to talk about in that show.
So make sure you stay tuned for that as well, or tune into that other show. Make sure you download that one as well. And Damo, I'm going to catch you next week. It's going to be an exciting weekend. Fingers crossed that Albany and all the other Australian teams in championship weekends this weekend can get over the line, and we can see as many Australians as possible come next week.
Certainly will. Exciting times ahead.